epistle, Paul's letter to the church at Galatia, where he says, "And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years after the promise, cannot annul the promise that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect." In Jesus' name, dear reading, like the man came to Jesus wishing to justify himself, you oftentimes find yourself in that position in the world. Because of the outbreak of sin in the world, they believe that you think you are much better than they. But when you look at the law of God carefully and clearly, you see that you are just like that wounded man lying in the ditch. You are wounded not by a neighbor, but by the law of God that strips you of your pretenses, leaves you naked and dying and grieving. What can you do but wait for someone to come along and deliver you? The lawyer in the gospel reading for today doesn't get the reality that the law does not annul the gospel, but rather it points you to the gospel. What he desires to do is to provide his own justification through the law. Instead of this, Jesus offers him true and real forgiveness through the gospel. But what need does the person who would justify himself have of what Jesus might offer? The lawyer had come to test Jesus, but ends up being tested. He comes to justify himself, but the law condemns him. This is now the last year of Jesus' earthly ministry. And you might think that enough of these lawyers and scribes and Pharisees have brought their testing and tempting to Jesus, falling flat on their faces that soon they would give up. But you know, they still believe they know better. Pride blinds us to reality. And it certainly blinds us to the blessings that Jesus not only brings, but gives. So the lawyer comes not to be served, but to test. So he asks this question: what must I do to inherit eternal life? But your Lord Jesus cannot be tested or tempted or trapped. He turns it back on the lawyer by asking a question: you know the scriptures, what do they say? And the lawyer answers correctly: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And now Jesus follows up with a second question. He tests this lawyer. He says to him, with all the standards of the law, you have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. But now the man finds himself in a pickle. He may have been thinking to himself, look, this isn't how I planned this conversation to go. He was going to enter perhaps into a great debate, twisting a subtle argument here and there to express his great learning. But now he has sent in the simple words of Jesus to keep the whole law with his whole being. When this law brings its full condemning weight, surely the lawyer must have recognized his sin when he said, you must love your neighbor as yourself. So rather than say, Lord, forgive me, he offers a defense. He offers a question: who is my neighbor? You and I oftentimes still hear the command, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The Holy Spirit works within you because he was sent to do this by Jesus, convicting you of your sin, pointing out to you the reality that your love is far from full and complete. But this man, this lawyer, will not allow the Holy Spirit to do his work. The law has not yet crushed him fully. He's still trying to be righteous by what he brings to the table. The text tells us that when he asks the next question, he is trying No exceptions, no exceptions to the letter of the law. There's no about you.